Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas. Joe Gillio. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. Broadcasting live from the DeBoer Heart and Lung Center Broadcast Booth. Citizens Bank Park. So we heard there on the last break, Hugh, the sound Tucker actually picked up on. It was like the PS5 sound.
Yes.
And then we walked out to the concourse and we looked up at Fanavision, and MLB The Show is being loaded up on there, which means that's the game it's likely that you and I are playing today when the show ends on Fanavision. Now, so here's the question: are you ready to? Are you ready to play? Like, are you prepared? No.
No, I'm not. I mean,
are you going to get beat by kids?
Probably. Okay. More than likely, especially if they play.
Yeah.
Because I don't play too many sports games. I was more looking forward to like a Mario Kart type situation.
That would be fun.
You know. Since we can't play, you know, shooters,
well,
looter,
I mean,
shooters.
It's a family.
Yeah, it's a family thing.
Yeah.
But no, we're going to have fun with it, man. I'm going to probably get dragged all over the place by a bunch of little 8-year-olds.
And we'll tell everyone about it tomorrow.
And they're going to talk about me.
It'll be
cool.
Awesome.
It'll,
yeah.
It'll be a great time.
Maybe they'll throw a perfect game against you with Wheeler.
You know what?
If
they ask me for this suggestion on teams or players to use, I'm going to suggest that Hugh over here thinks Zach Wheeler is only the ninth best player in Philadelphia. So why don't you throw against him?
Whatever budding relationship me and Buzz had has died today.
Yeah.
With the Zach Wheeler take.
Sometimes when you fill in, you kind of fill in the seat you're in, right?
So yeah.
He's sitting in for Kyle. What does Kyle do? Put you in your place.
Yeah.
Right. So
yeah.
They Buzz.
So Buzz is. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, Kyle fights with you. Buzz is fighting with
you.
That's what we have to do. All right. Speaking of something that might get people to fight about it, I heard this yesterday. I was driving home, and Hugh, at first my reaction was, can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought about it more, and I think there is some merit to the idea of this. Listen to Spike Eskin yesterday as we all try to figure out how the Phillies are going to make this team better. Right. What is the plan and the path to making this team better between now and the trade deadline? And a player that I think everyone or most people right now would say off limits, Spike says, no, now is actually the time you try to get value for him. Here's Spike yesterday on a trade idea for the Phillies.
As we approach the trade deadline, you have to be open to trading Ranger Suarez. If you don't think you're going to re-sign Ranger, if you haven't seen him complete an entire season healthy as a starter, which we have not, I'm not saying they have to trade him, but I know that Nola's coming back in August. I know that we only need four starters in the playoffs. I know that Ranger's probably gone, and if they can get a everyday good bat, like an outfielder, if we can solve our outfielder problem by trading Ranger Suarez, I'm open to doing that.
Your reaction, Hugh, to the idea, the concept that he brought up yesterday. I mean, obviously, Ranger is the name, but the concept of trading from our strength to help the team in a different way.
I see where he's coming from, because not too long ago, we were talking about what Ranger was and what he could before he started pitching the way he's pitching.
Yep.
We talked about him potentially being a piece because we weren't going to sign him. And we also talked about what is this year actually mean? Like, we ran it back. We ran it back with the intention of making it to the World Series. What bargaining pieces do we have? It was obvious that Ranger, before he started pitching the way he was pitching, didn't feel like he factored in to what for the long-term goals or the long-term plan. Because you didn't sign him.
Mm-hmm.
So I get where he's coming from, but I think that now people are a little cringy because of the way Ranger's pitching. But early on, we didn't know that this was going to be the case. So I pick up what he's putting down.
So
he's your hottest commodity right
he
now,
is.
Too.
Here's my – I have two issues with why I would not do it right now. But then I did think of a name. Like he was trying to find like a one-for-one kind of swap that can make the team better. I want to throw a name out to you, just coming up in a minute. But first, the reason why I would hesitate to do it right now, even though he's not wrong the way he laid it out, right? Like, he is your most valuable – he's a valuable commodity. We don't know if he's going to be here after this season. And if you can get an everyday player back for him, maybe it makes you better in a different way.
Yeah.
Hugh, the issue I have is sometimes a strength can go from being a strength to a weakness
really
fast.
Quickly, yeah.
So the Phillies' strength is starting pitching. If we subtracted Ranger, right now we're subtracting from the starting pitching.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know when Nola's coming back. Right?
You don't know what you're going to get when he comes.
Right. He stunk before. Now, he has a track record of being a very good pitcher. And I think the odds say he's probably going to be at least serviceable down the stretch of the season. Assuming,
decent, yeah.
Right. Assuming the rib is fine and the ankle's fine. But I also have the truth of this season, which he was bad before he left. And Andrew Painter, has anyone noticed he hasn't been dominating AAA? Like, we've just assumed that Andrew Painter is going to arrive here and he's going to help. But
then they slow played it. They decided to slow play
it. But he really hasn't pitched at a super high level at AAA. Like, he's not pitched well enough where it's like, oh, look, he's ready to come up here and without question dominate. So if you subtract Frazier, and then now we're playing the game of, okay, yeah, you might not need him in the playoffs. We have to get to the playoffs first, right? And then
– yeah, and that's not a guarantee.
Yeah, I feel like you're taking a strength, and all of a sudden you're making it a not as big of a strength. You have question marks at the back end of the rotation, and for what? So my instinct is I would not do it, but I think it's interesting. But I was watching the game last night. I did think of – because I think Spike was trying to find like a one-for-one, right? Mm-hmm. We'll give you Ranger, you give us this, and actually it makes us better. And I thought of a player that's actually here in town for the Padres. You always talk about small ball, moving runners, putting the bat on the ball. San Diego is a pretty good team, but they don't have enough starting pitching. Would you trade Ranger Suarez for Luis Arraez? He has been one of the best contact hitters in baseball for years. He's also a free agent after the season. He has won batting titles. I think he's got three of them. He hit 354, he hit 314, he hit 316. He's a career 319 hitter. Do you know how many times he struck out this entire season? Seven. He's like the opposite of the Phillies hitters, right?
Yeah.
Would you make that swap? He's one of the best pure hitters in baseball. He plays first. You can move Bryce to the outfield. Like, you can make it work. If the Padres really wanted a pitcher and they're willing to move Luis Arraez, they're both free agents, so it's not like you're, you know, in, they all go to free agency in 2 months anyway. Mm-hmm. That's like that. I had when he, I heard Spike yesterday, I thought about it. I knew we were going to bring it up because just the idea of the Ranger thing. Luis Arraez is a fascinating player because he's like a throwback. Nobody hits like him anymore. He's almost like, you know, some people have brought up the comparison to Tony Gwynn back in his day. You know, didn't strike out, put the bat on the ball, 300 basically every year. Would you do that to get maybe the best contact hitter in baseball? One for one.
35 years old?
Oh, he's younger than that.
How old is he?
28.
28, okay.
I mean, they're both free agents after the season, so
okay.
you no guarantee anyone's staying.
Yeah, okay.
You're just swapping a star pitcher right now for a guy that's been one of the best hitters in baseball for about 5 years now.
Contact, yeah, I think I would. Yeah, if you're talking about one for one, and I think we have enough, well, pitching-wise, starting pitching-wise, that you could sacrifice that to get somebody that's going to make that kind of contact on a regular basis. But where would you bat him in the lineup?
Well, I mean, you could bat him one and Turner two, and then you go Harper, Schwarber. I mean, he'd be somewhere near the top because
yeah.
You want the,
you know,
I mean,
you want that getting on base.
Yeah, and I just like I've started to rethink about what the Phillies. I mean, we all want pop, but I wonder if they're just going to try to win these games 2-1, 3-2, right? That's the way they're built this year. And Arraez is one of those guys that like he could help you win those kind of games. He's just one of the most unique players in baseball. And we always complain about strikeouts and chase. He has struck out seven times the entire season. It almost looks fake when you look at his numbers. Again, he's a 319 career. I thought when I heard Spike yesterday and I was watching the game last night, I thought about Arraez as kind of an option there if we were looking for a Ranger trade one for one. 215-592-9494. All right, let's go to Jimmy in Richburg. I think we met Jimmy last week at McGurk's and Langer. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, I did see you guys there.
Yeah, Jimmy, what's up, man?
All right, so I want to ask you one question. So with the T.J. Watt thing, Q, if I was a coach, I switched you from D-line to O-line, would you want to defend that guy?
What? Before I answer this question, I mean, where are we going with this?
Here, so you're worried it's a leading question?
Well, because it's like, if I'm a defensive end, why would I, and being my size and my stature, what would be the purpose of moving me to offensive line?
Probably what? Not a good move. I'm just asking you.
It's a hypothetical. I think it's about how hard Watt is to block.
No, but my point is, hypothetically, why would that make sense to move me to offensive line? That's the problem.
Well,
Jimmy, I understand what
coach,
you're saying, but that's the problem
I'm
having wrapping my mind around. What?
But I think you know. Look, you guys mentioned Chris Long. We signed him for back to back Super Bowls, right?
Mm-hmm.
He won one in New England. He won one here. I think he made a difference. So let's go get another ring, man.
So you're in on Watt. You want to push in and go win the ring this year. Yeah.
I still don't understand that.
I think that's how it goes. You know, Smith, man. You don't know.
You don't know. Now, Jimmy, I think there's a lot of promise with Nolan, and I like him. Like, I'm not looking to move Nolan.
I don't want to get rid of him.
Right, but it's a hypothetical to get one of the best players, really one of the best pass rushers the league has had in a decade.
Correct. And let's go get it. You know what I mean?
No, now, Jimmy, I'm still stuck on the hypothetical. Could you kind of wrap that up for me? Because I need to understand what was the purpose of you moving me to offensive line.
Well, dude, I would never put you on the O-line because you're a D guy. You know what I mean?
I think I could translate for it. I think I got it. And Jimmy, man, it was great meeting you last week.
Why you let Jimmy off the hook?
I appreciate the call. I think I know where Jimmy was going.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do. I do.
Okay, but entertain me.
Well, so I think he was trying to set you up, but you cut it off. I think he was asking if you had to play – like I'm going to get in Jimmy's head. Hugh, if you had to play offensive line and I said you had to block T.J. Watt, how would you feel? And I think you'd say, uh-oh, right?
Well,
I think the next thing he would say is, would you feel as worried if you were blocking Nolan Smith? I think he was going with the idea that T.J.'s at a different level. If you were on that side, who would you fear more? That's who he wants.
Well, to be – okay, we're going to pretend like we know what he was talking about.
I think that's what he was going to say.
I'd be afraid of both of them. Right. You know why?
Because you can't block.
Because I can't – exactly.
So hypothetical.
How did that tie in to anything that we was – but again, Jimmy, live
your truth. He just wanted you to say TJ's better than Nolan.
Jimmy, live your truth. I see what you mean when I say this. My fault. Jimmy, live your truth. I mean, I can't argue.
He was going with a creative way to get you to say T.J. Watt's
creative.
Better than Nolan Smith.
That's not a skill set.
Buzz, did you pick up where Jimmy was going with that?
I don't know. It sounded like he almost had Hugh cornered there, and you let him off the hook.
Of course Buzz is going to agree with that. Buzz is still triggered by the whole Wheeler thing.
Well, we all are.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You ranked him ninth.
I don't know what to tell you, dude. I'm sorry, but it is what it is.
Well, apologize.
Apologize
or change your list.
Can't do it.
It's not that hard.
Can't do it.
Do you now see where Jimmy may have been going?
No. don't understand the correlation either. Like, who would I be afraid? I'd be afraid of both of them, Jimmy, because I'm not an offensive lineman. Yeah.
All right, so let me ask you this. Laremy Tunsil, right? The Commanders just traded for Laremy Tunsil.
Yes.
He's going to protect the blind side for Jaden Daniels.
Laremy Tunsil's a good player, too.
He's had an excellent career. Let's say it's a rematch in the NFC Championship game. Eagles-Commanders. Who do you think Laremy Tunsil would rather have to block for 3 hours? Nolan Smith or T.J. Watt? I think that's what Jimmy was trying to get to. He just did it in his own creative way.
Well, I would say, given the resume, I would probably say T.J. Watt.
He'd rather block Watt?
No, he would rather not block
Watt. They're right. I think so. That I think we figured it out.
But you got to block them both.
Well,
you got to do your job, it don't matter. It's like whoever you line up against, you got to do your job. So that dog does not.
You can still have a preference.
Dog hunts.
What do you mean you can have a preference? Not if you out there trying to win a game. Oh, I gotta go against Jonathan Ogden. Well, if I had my preference, I would rather go against somebody else. It don't work like that, fellas.
I thought you were gonna say. I thought you were gonna call out an offensive tackle you dominated.
Oh no, nah.
I'm sure there were certain guys
you beat up
had an easier time with.
I was gonna use Trey, but I'm going to let Trey lead it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You said before you beat him like a drum in practice.
He used to beat Trey like a drum. Just beat him like a drum. No, because Trey was letting me have it. You know, Trey was the one that told me about get the janitor keys. He told me to put the janitor keys on. He was like, yeah. Because he was.
There is a way to get your keys back. We learned this earlier.
Just go to have those keys.
Go to the neighborhood block party. Hang out with Skip for a little bit.
Definitely
get the keys
not going
back.
To the neighborhood block party. Yeah. Definitely not doing that. The amount that I want to deal with my neighbors is minimal. And that's no disrespect to my neighbors because I'm pretty sure they're great people. But I don't feel like –
it comes across disrespectful.
No, I just don't feel like having conversations about football like all the time. I mean, I talk about sports every day.
Yeah.
So I don't – and this is no disrespect because I will engage in you know –
just hit him with the – I don't really watch football.
But it's like some people, they want to validate – their opinion about certain things that happen in football, and I'm just like, dog, I've been talking for 4 hours all day. I don't feel like talking to you about football the rest of the day. Can we talk? Like, if you talk to me about something else, I'll be willing to engage in that.
Well, I think Skip's got a lot of things he wants to talk to you
about.
But
when you, like, listen, this happened to me the other day. And if he's listening, hey dog, you were fine, but still, you kind of, you know, you asking me about, you know, the TO situation. Like, I had to go to the leases office to get my keys, right? So, buddy asking me about TO and hey, are you Hugh Douglas? You know I'm Hugh Douglas that played for the Eagles, but he tried to frame it in a way where he was surprised. Oh, I didn't know you. Come on, dog. I don't feel like having – help me get my keys, dog. That's all I asked for you to do. I don't need all the whole conversation about me and T.O. and what the Eagles did. I don't feel like having that conversation right now. Give me my car key. Give me my keys to my place.
You're going to be 80 years old and someone's going to ask you about the T.O. situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just like – because as a matter of fact, when he was talking to me, I'm texting y'all. I'm like, dog, long talking. Like, telling me about everybody's business that I don't care about. And if you're listening, oh, well. I'm just saying. Because I ain't trying to have that conversation every day.
So this is a filibuster by T.J. Watt now?
No, I'm just saying.
You filibustered us.
I'm not filibustering. I'm just saying.
But this is what he does. He goes on a tangent when he doesn't want to answer the question.
And he hopes that no one remembers what the conversation began as. Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's exactly what happens.
I can see right now, me and Buzz, I thought Buzz was going to be a good wingman. I don't think me and Buzz are going
to
hang out anymore.
Well, you did try to help me down at the ballpark after you called me a ladies' man. I feel kind of bad going at you all day.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Oh, no. I ain't forgot, because Buzz, listen,
Hugh feels betrayed.
It was me and Mike.
But wait, so take us through the story. Buzz, you knew this person, right?
I met this person one time previously.
But hold up.
Now, the way Hugh told the story was as if, like...
Mike is sitting right there. Mike, was it familiar? Did she seem like she was familiar? She was happy to see Buzz. And Buzz tried to play her.
Buzz is spoken for.
But no, I'm not saying Buzz was cheating.
No, I didn't say that word.
I'm not saying he was. He wasn't
doing
anything.
But he was acting like he was spoken for.
But Buzz is spoken for. We're not trying to get Buzz in trouble. So if Mrs. Buzz is listening, we ain't trying to get him in trouble. But Buzz treated her like, hey, we hung out one time and that was it.
Wait,
like,
had the game started?
No.
Because Buzz scores the game. You got
to
leave him alone.
Yeah, we were going to get something to eat. And she was like, hey, Buzz, it's nice seeing you again. And Buzz kind of looked at her like... Like, you know what I mean? Why are you speaking?
Maybe
to me?
He was in game mode.
I don't know what he was in, but I was like, Buzz, why are you handling the young lady like
that? So how would you translate the story Hugh just told Buzz?
I didn't think anything of it until Hugh thought it was the funniest thing ever. Yeah, he's like, damn, why didn't you get her number?
He was like, I have a girlfriend, but I was like, obviously, Buzz, she remembers you, and you left some kind of impact.
Well, I leave that kind of impact on everyone, not just women.
The impact, so I was like, Buzz, look at Buzz being a ladies man. Okay, Buzz.
This was the story that led to the clip of you calling Buzz a ladies' man.
The ladies' man. Ladies' man.
Heartthrob was the other term that was thrown around that day. Yeah,
he liked those.
Well, you don't forget those. Yeah, when you don't get called that very often, when you hear it, you remember it.
Buzz, a heartthrob up in this piece.
Let's go to Tim in Coatesville. What's up, Tim?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Hey, what's Tim. Up, what's Tim? Up?
Well, I was thinking. Mm-hmm. Now, I heard you guys talking about trading Suarez, which is crazy to me. I don't understand why you would even, you know.
So, I'm not looking to do it, Tim, but I heard Spike bring it up. And at first I thought it's crazy. The only way I'm doing it is if I'm getting an everyday bat back that can make a difference. I mean, that's
who we was talking about.
We have a very good bat that sits on the bench most of the time right now that we can trade. I don't want to trade him. You know, but we have them, and we have to get rid of somebody at the trade deadline to pick up some pitching in the bullpen.
Who do we have that we – who's the bat?
Sosa.
Yeah, but what are we getting for Edmundo Sosa?
He said a really good bat. He didn't say a bat.
He's a good bat, man. That guy should not be on the bench. I don't think he should be on the bench. He could start somewhere.
He probably could, but what do you think we're getting realistically for Edmundo Sosa?
You don't think we can get a good bullpen guy for Sosa? Really?
Well, I don't think so. No, I mean, like, well, the teams that are good. Well, let's workshop this. The teams that are good probably don't need a starting shortstop, right? That's probably true. And the teams that are bad, they want. What's that?
You're saying he plays a couple.
No, yeah, right. He's a utility market. We'll call him a utility guy. But teams that are good aren't going to give you a high-impact reliever because they're in the race. And teams that are bad, they want prospects. What are they going to do with Edmundo Sosa? Like, if you're the Pirates, why do you want Edmundo Sosa?
Well, that's true. They're not going to be buyers
Right, you know, and they want prospects, right? They want guys that are dirt cheap for 6 years. It's just, I understand the concept. I'm just not sure
that he's worth what you need.
Well, yeah, it's just kind of an awkward player to trade because he's not super young. Bad teams don't probably want him. Good teams could use him, but then you're not getting anything. You know, why would a good team trade you a good reliever? He's kind of awkward to put in a trade.
I hear what you're saying. The other thing that I really wanted to say is, what are we going to do with Nola when he comes back? Is there any way that we could put him in the bullpen? Because if he comes back late in September or sometime in September, he's not going to be able to be a good starter, bro.
Listen,
you put him in the bullpen, and we got a chance to make a good run in the postseason.
You are not putting Aaron Nola in the bullpen. What are you talking about? I mean, I appreciate you living your truth, but what plan are you on, bro?
They ain't about the last couple weeks of the year.
They ain't putting him in the bullpen.
So I see it.
Yeah, here's where I'm at on this. Aaron Nola right now, Tim, we appreciate the phone call. Hugh, until someone gets hurt or falls off or he pitches well, Aaron Nola is the fifth starter, right? Like, we have four guys that are pitching higher level right now. Nola wasn't. So he's going to slot back in as the five. Now, here's what I think becomes interesting. If he comes back and nothing changes, right? Wheeler, Suarez, Sanchez, Lazard are all better than him. You don't need a fifth starter in the playoffs.
Like, so you're going to put him in the bullpen.
Or he doesn't participate. Remember a couple years ago?
I could see the non-participation. You're talking about when
Taiwan.
Taiwan was in it, yeah.
Right? Like, if Nola pitches like we remember him for years, he could work his way back in this mix. I'm just saying, if he's only okay and those four guys are good, what do you do with him in the playoffs? Because, I mean, you could put him in the bullpen, but he's never done this.
You're not putting him in the bullpen. Well, I can't see that as an option.
Then he might end up as a long man emergency guy in the bullpen, or he's not on the roster, like the way Taiwan was 2 years ago.
I hear you.
It could be awkward.
I hear you. But I think that Nola has enough cachet that they're not going to even present that to him like that.
The other thing, and this is probably the most realistic, if he pitches well, one of the other guys goes to the bullpen, a Lizardo. A Sanchez,
Ranger,
and Nola back to the rotation.
Yeah.
But they better work, right? Because he has to pitch well. Otherwise, we're going to sit there and say, why did you take this guy out of the rotation?
Yeah. That's the problem. That's the dilemma.
Yeah, of course.
That you're going to have is that if you do decide to do that, which I think he has enough cachet that they're not going to even consider that. That if you put him in a rotation and put him out in the bullpen, he better show up.
Because that will be controversial. If he goes in the rotation over someone who's pitched better than him all year, that would be one we would critique. 215-592-9494. All right, your phone call. Sixers lost a player a lot of people wanted to keep, and I saw something in the NBA today that actually could be a precursor to something we see down the line with the Sixers, with Embiid or Paul George. We'll get to that coming up. Also, another song was written about Jack and DeCamera. This is becoming the thing now. You'll hear some of that, and we'll check in with you people. Excited to see what they have to say today after all this nonsense. 215-592-9494, and your last chance to either apologize to Zach Wheeler or change your list. That is coming up. You prepared?
I'm prepared.
Okay. Sports Radio 94 WIP.